Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every week, every game from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the Round 8 preview. Last week, we had a perfect week with a selective number of tips. Just two best bets, both on the same game, Bulldogs first half and Bulldogs full game line. That was my favourite side of the week. And in fact, it was the biggest upset of the season. The Bulldogs beat the Sharks outright, a 16.5-point underdogs, and that was a key leg in our multi that got up, and also the mixed matchup. We needed the Raiders to outscore the Sharks. The Raiders didn't even outscore the bloody Cowboys, who they were playing against at $1.25, but they did outscore the Sharks 24-12, and we cashed at $3.50. If you're betting 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup, let's just say, just purely for example, you're up over, I think, $860 this season, and they're both individually in profit. We're 19-10 on best bets for the season. And straight away, let me roll into my five best bets for round eight on three different games. And this week, I'm taking the Sharks +8.5 first half, $1.88 against the Storm in Melbourne. That's on Ladbrokes and Neds. Every other bookie, you can get +8.5 in the low $80s. And Sharks +17.5 at $2. Also Ladbrokes and Neds. Next best, $1.92 on Unibet. Every other bookie, $1.90. I think the Sharks go down to Melbourne with a siege mentality. Look, they've had tough losses in Newcastle and versus the Dogs, and we've profited on both of those games, but it's a little bit different this week. Wade Graham is back, plus a couple others. Sean Johnson got back in the team, played 60 minutes last week, looked all right to me. He'll be better for the run and he'll play 80, and he elevates others around him, including a guy like Nakora, who's only recently got back in the team as well. So there's reasons for me to really like the chances of a big Cronulla performance this week. They also blew a few tries last week, and I think they've been counted out now after losing to the Dogs, go down to Melbourne. No one expects they can win. In a way, that takes the pressure off them. But the thing is, they don't fear the Storm. They've got a history of tight matches against the Storm. And the Storm are awesome, no doubt about it. But still no Pappenhausen. Nelson Asafa-Solomon is out for this one. This line is too high, in my opinion. That's why I've got to take the Sharks first half and full-time line, 8.5 and 17.5. Then I'm taking another underdog Friday night. The Broncos +6, a mechanical halftime line at $1.91. How you achieve that, you put an 89% of whatever your best bet stake would be on Broncos +5.5 in the first half at $2.15 on Bet365, and the remaining 11% of your best bet stake on the three-way halftime line with a start of 6-0 on Unibet at $9. And this gets you a few cents better than just playing simply +6 with Brisbane, which you can also do. That's on Top Sport in the alt handicap at $1.88. So both are the same thing. If Brisbane are within 5, we win. If it's tied or if Brisbane are up, we win. If they're down exactly 6 money back, if they're down more than 6, we're going to lose that one. And taking Broncos +12.5 at $1.85. They're playing the Titans, of course, at Suncorp on Friday night. The next best available is +12 at $2 odds, Ladbrokes and Neds. So why am I on Brisbane after a pitiful performance last week? Well, one thing, go back to round two. This line was 7.5 and the game was at the Gold Coast. Now we move to Suncorp and the line has moved 5 points, and Brisbane has played well at Suncorp this season. Let's look a little closer at that. Played Parra down to the wire in round one, beat the Dogs 24-0, played the Panthers down to the wire. Now what's Brisbane done on the road? They lost to the Titans. It wasn't close. They got smashed by the Storm, smashed by the Bunnies, smashed by the Eels. So you can see a trend there that Brisbane actually play well at home. Now they've switched up their halves. Of course, that's a question mark how they're going to go this week. There's no doubt the Titans are better than the Broncos. The Titans looking to rebound off back-to-back losses. But I still have my question marks over the 9-7-6. Rain, Fogarty, Taylor, can they dominate a game? I know Brisbane got trampled in Darwin, but I actually don't think their pack will get pushed over in this one. The line is too high. Again, I take the first half and full-time line, two best bets. And finally, my fifth best bet for round eight is the Knights, +6.5. They're at home to the Roosters. That's $1.90 on Unibet and the next best available $1.87 on Bet365. I'm expecting Teddy will be ruled out of this one. Look, if he ends up playing miraculously, I've still got to roll with this and I still think it's value, okay? But obviously it's better value if Tedesco's ruled out, and I'm expecting that because he's got a history of bad concussions. He copped that bad one in the Origin decider. He's copped a couple in the past, and then the Roosters' previous game was only on Sunday, so usually players need more than 6 days to clear HIA, so that's working against him. And the Roosters are known to be very cautious with the head knocks, so I'm definitely expecting Teddy gets ruled out. Yes, Manu can still do a great job at fullback. Joe Suali may even come into the back line, which would be exciting. But for me, the Knights are not that far away from the Roosters. Yeah, they've lost two of their last three since Ponga returned, but he actually has lifted them. Bradman Best has been back the last couple of weeks. They showed me a bit of toughness against the Panthers. They fell down 10-0 early, and they actually made a game, but it was still within a try after an hour's play. The Knights are a strong team at home. They'll see this game as winnable. The forward pack will want to step up. And look, as good as Sam Walker's been, and you've got Verrills back in the side, it's an inexperienced half spine, I should say, with not a lot of continuity. And on top of all that, the Knights come off a Thursday game to play this one on Saturday. That's a 9-day prep versus the Roosters going Sunday to Saturday, 6-day prep. Those three extra days, they do help a little bit with the recovery and the preparation. I've got to take the Knights in that one, and that completes my best bets. So we've gone 7 rounds this year out of 7, winning record on the best bets. And the one thing I will guarantee you guys is that we will have a losing round. That's about the only thing I can guarantee. I can't guarantee winning every week. Only back the tips of mine that you agree with, and hopefully you'll do okay, because I'm hopefully giving you a good bundle of tips to select from. The majority of them are getting up, and that's all I can hope to do is be right more often than I'm wrong, but I'm certainly going to be wrong plenty of times. And as I've said before, you also get the ones where, who's to say whether you're right or wrong? They come down to the wire. Sometimes the ball bounces your way, sometimes it doesn't. That's kind of why we love the footy. Now, before we jump into the breakdown of all 8 games for round 8, we've got our sponsored segment from Top Sport with Tristan here. He's going to tell us how the bookies did in round 7. You might be quite surprised to find out which game cost the bookies the most money. Maybe if you're a pod follower, you won't be that surprised. Then he's going to also tell us which sides have seen the most action this week, which I think is valuable for punters to know. But most of all, I've asked him to provide a bit of extra insight, and I think you're going to find this fascinating and, again, very valuable for you key, for you really keen NRL punters out there. I have asked Tristan, we need to talk about Tom Trbojevic. You've seen what he's done since he's come back and played for Manly. I asked him, do you think Tom Trbojevic is the most valuable player to his team in the NRL? And spoiler, Tristan's going to agree, and I'm sure you guys do as well. Although if you think there's somebody else out there more valuable to their team with a greater impact on their team, I'd love to hear your comment. But I'd love to give you guys this thought exercise as well as I throw to Tristan in the next minute. How many points do you actually think Turbo is worth? So if Turbo was just out of the blue scratched this weekend, how far would the line move? Because that is an indication of how valuable an individual player is to the point spread. So Tristan gives an answer on that. And then I said, who else is in Turbo's realm? Who else is who are the second and third most valuable players to their team in the NRL? So you guys can answer that yourselves. You guys can throw out some names of who you think are the most valuable players. In other words, if that player was pulled out of their team, how far would the line move? And after Tristan shares that insight, I'll actually share my thoughts on that as well before we get into the game. So here's Tristan from Top Sport with Market Watch.
Hi Tripod family, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We've had an interesting week just gone where there was some upsets, some heavily favoured teams winning. The round started poorly for us with the Panthers beating the Knights by 18 points. That line actually was 17.5 about an hour from kickoff. It moved to 18.5 in the last hour, and we laid the plus quite heavily. So when Nathan Cleary slotted that kick from the sideline, never looked like missing. It was an ugly start to the weekend, but then things sort of levelled out a bit from there. Funnily enough, probably our two best results were the Roosters against the Dragons, where the Roosters covered the line. And also the other result that was a surprising win for us was the Eels against the Broncos, where the Broncos were well backed at the big line. The biggest result by a fair way, though, was the Cowboys against the Raiders. The Raiders were backed very heavily minus, and the Cowboys obviously getting the job done money line. Funnily enough, our worst result of the weekend was the Sharks against the Bulldogs, where the Bulldogs won at a big price. You know, it's surprising when a $1.05 shot gets rolled and we actually lose on the game, but the Doggies were back very heavily at the start. I guess the Sharks are probably a bit too short for punters to lob into, even in the multi. So, interesting one. We move ahead to the week ahead, and there's an interesting round of games. We've got a few lopsided affairs with the Storm taking on the Sharks, the Titans against the Broncos, Panthers, Manly, and Bulldogs, Eels, all at double-figure lines. We've also got a couple of even games as well. The game that's been the biggest move has actually been the Raiders against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. The game opened at 3.5. It's out to 5.5 now. I don't think many people would have expected the Raiders to be starting 5.5-point underdogs at home this early in the season, but they've obviously been battling. South, you don't know which side's going to turn up. They've been a side playing in two halves at the moment, so it's going to be an interesting one. But at the moment, it's 5.5 the line, which has moved significantly South's way. The other one that's seen a bit of movement has been the Cowboys-Warriors game, where that match opened up at 4.5. It's now into 3.5. Obviously, Taumalolo getting named moved that line a little bit, which is probably a good segue to discuss a couple of these key player movements. We've seen a massive turnaround in form for Manly since Tommy Trbojevic has come back into the side. I think he's by far and away the most influential player in the betting markets at the moment. That game this weekend, Penrith against Manly at the neutral Bathurst, sees Penrith 14.5 point favourites. They played each other in round 4, I believe, or round 5, and that match was actually 17.5 point favourites with Manly at home. So you can see the impact Tommy's had. Obviously, he's given his team a bit of confidence as well, so that obviously reflects in the betting. But away from home, 14.5 compared to being at home, 17.5 point underdogs, it's an interesting one. I think, hypothetically speaking, if Turbo was to pull out now, that line probably jumps to maybe the 18.5, 19.5 mark. It's obviously difficult to weigh it up exactly because the Seagulls are playing a lot better footing than what they were a few weekends ago, but I think the inclusion of Tommy has a lot to do with that. I'd say probably the two other players in the comp that are the next in line who are the most influential will probably be Taumalolo for the Cowboys and Ponga for the Knights, probably because the depth just isn't quite there compared to a few of the other teams with some superstars in there. James Tedesco is another key one, but you've got a player like Joey Manu that can drop back to fullback and he'll cover that job pretty admirably, even though Teddy is by far and away the best fullback in the game at the moment. So it's an interesting one because we've actually got a bit of doubt over Teddy, and even though Taumalolo's been named, he has pulled out late in a couple of these games, so we could get a little bit of a glimpse of what these markets will do if either of those players pull out. So good luck over the weekend if you're having a punt. It's an interesting weekend ahead, and as always, remember to gamble responsibly.
So there you have it. Turbo being valued at about 5 points by Top Sport there. And some of you guys are probably thinking straight away, that doesn't sound like enough. But if you go back to round 7, to put it in some context, Manly was a 5.5 point favourite to the Tigers. So hypothetically, if Turbo had got injured in the warm-up, you're talking about that line being adjusted all the way to Pick'em, which is a very significant adjustment. And you've got to ask yourself, who would you have backed last week if you all of a sudden heard Turbo was out? Now, Tristan also mentioned Taumalolo and Ponga being super valuable to their team. Clearly, when you don't have anybody who can replace that player, it makes it that much more valuable. And I do find that interesting too, because Taumalolo was the surprise withdrawal from that round 6 game, I think it was, round 5 or 6, when the Dogs played the Cowboys, and we saw the line was 6.5 everywhere. Once Taumalolo was scratched, it moved to 4.5. So we've seen he's been valued at about 2 points from the marketplace. Myself, players that come to mind, I think Munster, especially with Pappy being out. I think if Munster's scratched from the Storm, significantly downgrade the Storm. Same for Cleary for the Panthers. Fair enough, they got awesome cover there, but still, he's such a valuable player. RTS for the Warriors, even though they've got a decent little backup there, and this 18-year-old kid I'll talk about later. Who else comes to mind for you guys? Let us know what you think. There's obviously, you know, lots of superstars in the NRL, and we'll get to talking a little bit more about Teddy, but let's move to this Raiders-Rabbitohs game, because this is a great way to kick off round 8. There are lots of intriguing matches this week, and there are some superstars that play for both of these teams in Canberra, and the Rabbitohs are a minus 5.5 point favourite. And look, let's go all the way back to the first half of the season where the Rabbitohs got blown off the park by the Storm. Since then, they've been absolutely outstanding. They've won 6 straight games since losing in round 1, while the Raiders are on a 3-game losing skid. In terms of personnel, Josh Papali has been rested. Croker rested / shoulder injury. But Joe Tapanay comes back in for the Rabbitohs. Totola, I think, is in the same boat as Teddy. He's in HIA protocol. It's very rare the players pass that in 6-day turnaround. So I'm expecting Totola will be out. And the Rabbitohs have listed their lineup the same way that they took on, who was it last week? The Titans, where Walker actually plays fullback and Benji plays 5/8. Now, if you want to nitpick with the Bunnies, a couple weeks ago they were down 14-6 to the Tigers. Last week they were down 24-10 to the Titans. So they'll be looking for improvement in their starts. I simply will not write off the Raiders this week. I know No Papa, who's the leader of that forward pack, and I know the Bunnies still have so much class. This might look like an easy one to some punters, just take the Rabbitohs minus 5.5. And that was my first thought. But look a little bit closer. I think this game is won and lost in the forwards, and I will assume Totola will miss the game. And even without Papali, I still think this is where that depth of the Raiders team really could show itself. They still have a really good starting pack and four legit forwards on the bench. And I think if the Raiders win the forward battle, it gives more opportunities to Jack Whiten, to George Williams, to actually put some points on. If the Raiders don't win the forward battle, then clearly the Bunnies with the scarier spine and the class outside backs will roll them. But this could be a massive game for Canberra. They're at home. They're in the, you know, their elements down there. So look, I think if you like the Raiders, play the plus 6.5. I saw that was available. Otherwise, you obviously play the minus 5.5 with the Bunnies. But I don't have a strong enough lean in that game to make a best bet. Whereas on Friday, when the Storm hosts the Sharks, as you've heard, I do like the Sharks plus 8.5 first half, plus 6. I've got plus 16.5 being the line that's on my graphic there, but plus 17.5 for the best bet. And look, a lot of games, you don't get that excited when one team's a 16.5 point favorite because you think it's pretty clear who's going to win. But when I look at this game, I can't wait for this one. I think it will be exciting. I think kind of Sharks backs against the wall. But as I said at the top, they don't fear Melbourne. You look at last year, the Storm won the comp and the Sharks scraped into the eight. I think they won half their games. But the Sharks had the Storm beat when they did meet earlier in the season last year. So it's something about this matchup. It brings out the best and it's always kind of gritty. And I think that plays into our hands there, taking a decent handicap with the Sharks. Now, another thing about the Storm, look, they rolled New Zealand last week, but New Zealand had so many like things go against them with late key players being out and the sin binning, everything like that. Storm loses Sofa Solomona, as I said. Jennings is also out. Puppy's still out for the Sharks. Sean Johnson will start at 6 and will play 80. Moylan is the 18th man. Now, I think I've said before, if I had it my way, I'd have Johnson at 7, Moylan at 8 at 6. But if he's not right to go, instead it's going to be the $2 million man Townsend playing at halfback. And also, interestingly, Will Chambers will make his club debut for the Sharks. He was meant to be essentially lost to the NRL, but he's come back because he couldn't play Japanese rugby affected by COVID, I believe, and signed with Cronulla. And he's gone straight in, Dugan out based on a form decision by Josh Hannay. And you know Chambers is going to rip in against his old club. Wade Tolman also back for the Sharks. And it is actually, he's playing against one of his former clubs in the Storm too. And most importantly, Wade Graham. And I think that lifts this team. And you've got Nakora that no one kind of noticed came back a couple weeks ago because the Sharks have lost games. But he's a really important back rower for them. And he's so dangerous when he plays off the back of Sean Johnson. So as I said before, it's been a very tough fortnight for the Sharks. And look, we've profited from that. But I think now we flip from having our best bets of the week last week against the Sharks to now getting great value on the Sharkies. They go in with no pressure, but they also know if they don't turn up and if they don't prepare well, that it'll get ugly for them if they're not focused because the Storm is such a ruthless side. So look, of course the Storm are frightening. When you've got guys like Dale Finucane and Harry Grant on your bench, then you're a hell of a team. But this line feels too high to me. I've got to play the Sharks. Moving to Friday night game at Suncorp, the Broncos host the Titans, and the Broncos are 12.5 point underdog, although the line's more moving to 12 across the board. But my best bets is Broncos plus 6 in the first half. And I said, if you do the mechanical, I know it's a little bit fiddly for some people, but you're gaining a few extra cents of value playing it that way, and it's the exact same result. And plus 12.5 I'm going to take on Brisbane for the game. And look, one other thing about this line, the fact that it was 7.5, 6 weeks ago, and we took the Titans, what value we got there? Because not only has the line moved 5 points, but we've gone from being in the Gold Coast to Brisbane, which should actually favour the Broncos. If you flip home field, that should favour them by, you know, roughly 5 points. I'm talking about the Titans would be a 2.5 point advantage at home, and then you flip it to Suncorp, which is worth at least 3. Although really, you watch the way Brisbane's played this year, Suncorp you could argue is worth about 12 points to them. But regardless, it's a huge adjustment from round 2. And have the Titans really been that impressive? That's my question. But let's look at Brisbane first. Now, I mentioned a big gamble in the halves, literally for Brisbane. And yes, that is a dad joke, but I'm allowed to say that. Tyson Gamble comes in at 7, and MILF has been recalled at 6. So Kevy said like a couple weeks ago that MILF would have to prove himself for a month in Q Cup. Well, here he is back starting. And it was only 13 days ago that Croft and Dearden had Brisbane nearly about to beat the Panthers as a 28.5 point underdog. And now they're dropped on the back of the performance in Darwin. And now you have to wonder, how much of that performance do you put on the halves? It really didn't seem like anyone in a Broncos jersey ripped in apart from Payne Haas. So, look, it feels knee-jerk. I think at this point, I've got to kind of go on a tangent and say, obviously, I think the fact that Tommy Dearden has come out signing with the Cowboys has contributed to Kevy maybe feeling, well, what's the point going in that direction with Dearden? Because any more reps we give him, it's not going to help the future of the Broncos. And I don't blame Dearden on the other hand. He's a 20-year-old and he wants to leave. You look at what he's been subjected to. You know, he was blooded in that diabolical season last year where they were getting flogged every week. He then lost out on the starting halfback job before this season. They went with Croft ahead of him. He's had games where he's had to play off the bench, not know when he's coming on. He's had games where Dearden, this is, was picked at starting halfback, but then Croft is on the bench, so you're looking over your shoulder. So that's a 20-year-old halfback that I think has a lot of promise that's going to North Queensland. And this feels like a good time to mention that Sam Walker, who's 18 years old, won the Anzac Day medal in his third NRL game. And Reece Walsh, who's 18 years old, starred in a New Zealand side that was smashed in a baptism of fire debut. And then you've got a 21-year-old, he doesn't play in the halves, but he certainly is just as effective towards a game. That's Dave Fifita, who scored a hat-trick first half last week, who should never have been allowed to leave the Broncos. So it's really tough times at Red Hill, and that kind of brings it full circle as we now look at the Titans, and they've got David Fifita on their side. And look, they weren't actually that bad, the Titans, last week. For a team that conceded 40, and in fact conceded 30 points in the second half, that was a cracker of a game against Souths, and they could have won. It was a close game before the Bunnies got that kind of dagger try. So I definitely think the Titans will be up for this, and they'll be too good. But ultimately, it goes back to what I said at the start of this pod. Brisbane really do rip in at home. Their roster is not that bad. I think they put up a big performance and it'll be enough to cover that halftime and full-time line. Moving to Saturday, the Panthers host the Sea Eagles. Saturday afternoon at Bathurst and the line is +14.5 with Manly. And as Tristan said, these teams met like a month ago and the line was 17.5 in Manly. And the Panthers crushed the Bird Gang, but you've got to admit, a lot has changed. But first, looking at Penrith, Api Korosau is back. Dylan Edwards was a late inclusion last week, so obviously now he's starting at fullback, which moves Crichton to right centre, and there's absolutely no reason in the world to move Matt Burton from left centre. He's been killing it, so arguably they're even more formidable now than they were before the injuries because they've integrated Burton into the side. Manly comes in unchanged. They lost their first four this season, as we know. Then they had a win by 1 point, and then since Turbo's been in, they won 36-0 and 40-6. So yeah, my instinct is I'm not going to play the minus here with the Panthers because Manly actually have a bit about them now and will come in and actually, you know, pose some problems. But I don't think it's an easy play on the Seagulls. Some people might think, why wouldn't you play this team that's been crushing it the last fortnight with Turbo back, take the big line? Well, we've got a 9-day turnaround again versus a 6-day for Manly. So that's a nice fresh Penrith side that comes into this one. And I think Penrith will be fully focused for this one because they know that Manly are a legit threat, as opposed to maybe when they went up to Brisbane a couple weeks ago, they obviously took them a little bit too lightly. And the other thing about Penrith is they can get into an arm wrestle with you. They don't mind. They know they're going to wear you out and they know they're going to punish you late. And that could happen in this game. And we could have a game that's within one score. And then Manly and then Penrith could hurt them late. And that's why I wouldn't have the confidence taking the points with the Seagulls. Manly scored a bunch of long range tries last week against the Tigers, but I don't see them breaking through Penrith that easily. And one other thing, when I look at the lineups, look at some of these players that defend on the edges for Manly. You've got Saab on the wing, Morgan Harper at centre, Olakau'atu and Schuster are the second rowers. And they're defending edges against Penrith. Geez, they're going to have their work cut out for them on Saturday afternoon in Bathurst. I'm going to pass the game. Moving to Dogs hosting the Eels. Dogs got off the snide last week, but they're still an 18.5 point underdog in this one. And as I said, this is an intriguing round. And I got really excited as I looked at each game. Thought, yeah, these are going to be some good games of footy. And then I got to Dogs Eels. And this is the first one I'm not that excited about. Look, great win by Doggies last week. Well deserved. Excellent for our bets, as I've said. But I don't see them going back to back here. The Eels, to me, are a legit contender. They've had one slip up that, game where they got a bit ambushed, I think, by the Dragons and a bit rattled when they fell behind. But they're bolstered in this one now. Madison got through 80 minutes at New South Wales Cup level, and he's coming back into this team off the bench because Isaiah Papali'i has killed it and cannot be demoted. You do have an excellent spine in the Eels. People said before the season they'd miss Jennings, then actually Wonga Blake got injured early, but they haven't missed these guys either. And they were clinical last week. They've won 6 out of 7 games this year, and I have not bet against them once, and that won't be the case this week either. I'm not betting against Para. And look, I also talked about one reason to like the Dogs last week was the desperation factor that helped them win. You can't replicate desperation factor once you get that win, I believe. So you could say they have confidence, the Bulldogs, but they could also fall flat. Look at Brisbane. They snapped a very long losing streak. And did it do them any good? They went to the Storm next week and they got flogged. And I remember that well because I was on Brisbane, unfortunately. So my lean is still to the Eels if you can lay under 20 points. But it's a lot of points to make a best bet. I don't have a best bet on the Eels, but I will still use them for this week's mixed matchup. They scored 35 points in Canberra a couple weeks ago. They scored 46 in Darwin. I think they're going to score 30 plus at least for us this week in Sydney. Now, might be a little bit square that I'm just jumping on the Eels bandwagon when everyone's seen that they're a high-scoring team, but I just want to ride this wave. I think the Eels are legit and a well-oiled machine in attack, and you've already heard me say, sorry, so the best bet is, or the mixed matchup is, Eels to outscore Gold Coast in round 8, and that's at $2.15, and you can have up to $200 on that. And you've already heard me make the case why I think Brisbane can keep it close-ish against the Titans. So if you want to look at the team totals, most bookies have got the Titans around 28.5. Most bookies have got Eels around 30.5. So a little bit of value in expectation suggests Eels should outscore Titans. But also, let me put it to you like this. I think the Broncos at home are better than the Bulldogs right now. I think the Eels are better than the Titans. So I'm going to take the better team with the slightly easier opponent and get over $2 odds. It's as simple as that for me. Jump on if you like it. Use a promo code TRIPOD to join up to Top Sport if you wish. Let's move on to Saturday night. And you've heard again, I have a best bet on the Knights as they host the Roosters and they're a 6.5-point underdog. Look, Sydney Roosters, very impressive on Anzac Day. And I've talked about Sam Walker and he starred in that game. And it's kind of crazy to think if not for injuries, he may not have even debuted yet. So we're kind of lucky that we are seeing this star emerge. So I've explained the Teddy situation. Yes, he's named, but I'd be very surprised if he played. What they did on Sunday was Manu went to fullback. I would expect the same. In the reserves, they've got Ikavalu, but it would be really cool to see Joseph Suaalii move into Manu's right center spot. Regardless of that, and even if the kid is as good as they say, it doesn't scare me off the Knights here. The Knights come into the season with high expectations of only won 3 of 7 games, and that's after, I think, winning round 1 and 2. So they've gone through a tough stretch. They showed me a little bit last week of resilience. When they were down 10-0 early to the Panthers, we've seen plenty of other sides have just been absolutely steamrolled. They fought back, and they definitely see this as a winnable game, and I've talked about the 3 extra days rest, the home advantage. So I really feel like if you agree with me, jump on this now, because even though most people should understand Teddy's probably going to be scratched, I feel like when that news actually officially drops, that the line will drop under 6 points. Move to Sunday. The Warriors host the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a 3.5-point underdog. For the Warriors, Tohu Harris, Adam Pompey, and Fusatua all are named to return. And this wonder kid Walsh had a very impressive debut, as I mentioned, and he got the start at fullback and they slid RTS to the wing. Well, this week they're starting him at 6, which of course moves RTS back to fullback. I think that excites the whole squad, honestly, like bringing this kid in there. And so I think that, it was very tough conditions and tough circumstances against Melbourne last week. It doesn't make me take anything away from the Warriors. And with a few reinforcements here, I think they'll have confidence. This game's being played in Gosford. Cowboys, we know, have confidence. They've won 3 straight games without Taumalolo, and Taumalolo returns. They do lose Isan Masters. Dunn is out. And I think McLean, he hasn't trained yet, and he got an injury last week. So he probably is out as well, although he was named. I've got to admit, it's a tricky one for me. Like, I didn't really see this Cowboys resurgence coming. As you know, like, they've pulled a couple of big upsets. I didn't predict those upsets. And then even when they beat the Dogs, yeah, no one was that surprised. They were a 6-point favorite, but I was on the Dogs in that one. So I haven't rated the Cowboys too highly. They've proven me a bit wrong. They've played some good footy the last 3 weeks. That was a very impressive comeback last week against the Raiders, even though, yeah, disappointing performance by the Raiders, of course. But look, Valentine Holmes is like playing his best form since before he went to the NFL. And that matchup against RTS is going to be scintillating. Personally, I just think this line is about right. I kind of look these teams up and down. I still think New Zealand are the slightly better side. They're at home. Yeah, there's unknowns like how Walsh is going to go in the halves or just how impactful Taumalolo will be in his first game back, like maybe lacking match fitness. Although with just like a hand injury, you'd imagine he'd be able to still get plenty of kind of miles in the legs and come out and could be just in an absolute mood to dominate. So I could see this result going either way. I don't have the confidence to jump on anything for a best bet. Finally, the Dragons host the Tigers, and the Tigers are a 10.5 point underdog. And the Dragons have come back to earth after a couple of losses. Like, yeah, the New Zealand game that they lost was very close, so you can say you shouldn't take much away from them, but they were favourites and they lost. And then they were underdogs against the Roosters, so you can say, well, there's no shame in losing to the Roosters, but they were beaten very handily. So it hasn't been a very impressive fortnight for the Dragons, but they do get back Ben Hunt in this one, and we get a little bit of a look at this young gun Max Fee guy on the wing. Ravalawa's out. The Tigers are having a really rough year, and I've got to put my hand up because preseason I said I predict the Tigers are going to come ninth this year, and that was unironically. I thought the Tigers would do a little bit better than general consensus, and I've been wrong. And the way that they let in those tries against Manly after they were actually up and they had all the ball in the first 30 was truly disturbing. So I talked a bit about the recap that I think in retrospect they were rattled by that Golden Point Bunnies loss. I don't think they recovered. But if you go back to the Tigers' good performance against the Bunnies, it was off the back of an embarrassing loss to the Cows. Now here they are again off the back of an embarrassing loss. So does that mean the Tigers show up? Honestly, maybe. Like, they are another side that they're getting shit heaped on them. Their backs are against the wall. But that was the Cowboys a few weeks ago, you know. That was the Bulldogs before last week. So things do turn around. This is not an unwinnable game for the Tigers, I'll say that. But it's just very hard to have confidence on them. Now, you talk about all the pressure that the Tigers are under. Clearly, Madge are under some pressure there. I'll tell you what, the Dragons are under a bit of pressure too, because you win four in a row, but if the Dragons lose this, that would be three straight losses, including a home loss to an absolute battler, and you'd start to really question how good you are. Well, West are staring down the barrel of a 1-from-8 start, so I think there could be a bit of desperation from both sides, which could see this game tight at least early, but depending on how good Ben Hunt's feeling and if he's back to his early season form, you would expect the Dragons to be too good. At this point in time, I don't have enough confidence for any solid best bet. And that will wrap my breakdown of round 8. Please let me know what you guys reckon about the tips I've shared, about anything I've said, or any value you are seeing for round 8 that I may not have mentioned. I want to just shout out for anyone who follows US sports and is a big fan. The NFL draft is this week, Friday, Australian time, and we did a bonus tripod episode with Jackson from YKTR and Nettie from Nettie Given Sunday. And I really enjoyed the episode. I thought it was a cracker, really setting the table and previewing the NFL draft, and including talking about opportunities to make money and how to bet on it. And I also included about 10, 12 minutes of NBA punting chat. I've shared out a bunch of NBA preseason futures tips and a couple through the year, and they're all gone really good. They're either looking like they're going to win or come agonizingly close. So I talked about how each of them are looking and what I'm looking at for the final month of the NBA season and then NBA's into playoffs. So if you're someone who follows the American sports, check your feed, whether it be YouTube, Facebook, or the podcast feed for that pod. You might be interested in it. But otherwise, if you're just a footy fan, I hope you enjoy the game. Good luck on whatever punts you make or jump on. As always, remember, punting is very hard to win money long-term, but very easy to lose money, especially in a short window. So always gamble responsibly. Legal.